Well, I give my love to each and every one of you tonight. And I desire your prayers because I'm not feeling 100%. But I want to give my two mites. Dear Lord, we come before you tonight. We thank you for your good love and mercy toward us. And yet tonight we need strength. We need your anointing. Lord, we want to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. This thought, two mites, is something the Lord gave me when I was reading, thinking of the widow woman. Let's read in Mark 12, verses 41 to 43.
And Jesus sat over the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. But there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury.
Here, read 44.
For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living.
I want to think about this. The woman's two mites represented her all. All. She had nothing else to give. And when we look at it, she was a widow with no companion, no husband. She was poor. And yet she gave all. The thought that I have tonight has nothing to do with finances. It has to do with giving our all, giving our two mites. One person's two mites may be more than another. But when we give what we have and what we can for God, we've given our all and we've given our two mites. Jesus commended her, really, and he said that she gave more than them all. Sometimes people have great abilities, or they have more to give. But God doesn't look at that. He looks at our heart. He looks at our devotion to him. And I was thinking about how she must have felt. She didn't even know maybe how she would eat the next day because she had given everything. And yet, it was from her heart. I could just see this woman was so devoted to God that this is all I have, Lord, but I'm giving it to you because I love you and I'm devoted to you. And I believe today the Lord wants us to have that kind of attitude toward God. So much so that we can give everything that we have. I believe he deserves it. Jesus, God gave his all. He gave everything. Everything that we needed, he gave it. And then Jesus did the same. He gave his life. And we were saying today, you can't give any more than your life. That's as much as a person can give. But Jesus did that. And we can give. I want to inspire and encourage us to give all. Do everything we can. If we have to crawl and do something for the Lord, let's do it. Lord, if we have just a little bit of strength, let's use that little bit of strength for God. And so I don't have a long message tonight, but I hope that we can be inspired from tonight on to give our all, give more, do more for God. Let's not limit what we can do for God. I'll do this and no more. Let's don't do that. Let's give everything that we have for him. I believe the same account is in Luke 21, 1 to 4. So we want to impress upon us the importance of giving our all, being devoted to the Lord. We have many in the scriptures that we can look at that were devout and devoted to God, and they were doing all they could, no doubt all they knew and all they understood for the service of God.
And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, "Of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had."
Yes. That's my desire before the Lord. I want to do all I can for God. I don't know how much time I have. I don't know how much strength I have. But what I have, I want to give it to the Lord. And I want us to be encouraged to do that.
Yes.
So, why would she do that? Because of her love for God.
Yes.
And if we love God supremely, we will give him our all. We don't know really what our all is going to mean before we leave this world. Our all may be some suffering physically, or it may be some persecution. But let's not be discouraged, and let's not shrink back from giving it anyway, no matter what the Lord calls us to do. Some of us he'll call to go to foreign lands. Some of us he'll call just in our neighborhood. And some of us to our families. There's many, many things that we can do for God. But let's lift our eyes from our own cares and our own things and look, what can I do for you, Lord? This is why she gave her all, I believe, is because of her devotion to God. So it starts with us giving of ourselves to God. When we really love God, then it starts there, and then it spreads to other people. And then from other people to different areas of how we can serve God and show our love for other people. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8 and 5.
"And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God."
Do you see? They started with giving themselves to God. And then when they did that, they saw needs, different things that they could do. And they were helping with the I think this is probably Paul, how did these people were a help to him. But first they gave themselves to God. And once we do that, we're going to find ourselves doing other things for God. I want us to look at Cornelius in Acts 10, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. You know, if we do this, if we allow ourselves to have this relationship with kind of relationship with God, you know what it does? It endears God to us.
That's right.
And do you know something else? It endears him to, it endeared us to him. Now, it works both ways. When we have this kind of relationship with God, everything we do is motivated by our love for him. And do you know, God, in turn, does the same for us. He works for us. He'll do things for us that you would be surprised, because he sees that love that we have for him. And he loves us back. And so this is what we want to read Cornelius. Cornelius, no doubt, he didn't have a full understanding of what God wanted for him. But he was doing his best. He was a devout man, and God worked for him. Amen. Did someone get that?
There was a certain man in Caesarea named called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God.
Okay. And then he told him to send the job and to get Peter. But what God noted him was his prayers and his alms. He was a devout man, and he feared God with all his heart. He was living to all he knew and understood. And then God gave him more light. He sent Peter there to teach him about Jesus and what to do, and he did it. So the Lord will be there for us. He will give us the things we need if we will but just avail ourselves to him. Just open our heart and just let God, let all be God, not us. I don't know if I can express what I feel, but that's what God is asking for us, and that's what we need to do, because he's done so much for us. Now we're going to go to the ninth chapter and read verses 36 to 41. This is somebody else that was a devout person, that was busy doing the things that God would have.
Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive.
Now, do you think that no doubt God saw all her efforts, all these things that she did out of her devotion to God? And then when she got sick, even though she died, he allowed her to be brought back to life. You know, I believe even if we get sick and some of these things happen to us, I believe God will work for us. Do you understand? Am I making sense? I just feel this is he wants us to be devoted to him. And I was thinking about Abraham. Abraham had a dedication to God so much that the scriptures call him a friend of God. We can go to James 2 and 23. We can be a friend to God. We can so live so close to him that he'll talk to us and we can talk to him. We can share our different problems and different concerns and everything, and he'll talk back to us and he'll encourage us, he'll strengthen us. This is being the kind of relationship I believe the Lord wants with us, and if we have this kind of relationship, he's going to be our friend too.
Amen.
Did you get James 2 and 23?
Yes. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
See, he believed God. He was so close to him. If God said it, he believed it, and it was so. And we can be that way too. If the Lord say it, we can believe it, and it's so. I tell you, this is what I desire before the Lord. I want to be that close to him that whatever he says, I can believe it, and it's so. So that's what Abraham did. And if we go to Genesis 18, I want us to read 1 through 18. I want us to see the kind of relationship that the Lord had with Abraham.
And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of the bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, and knead it, and make the cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat.
You see how Abraham was? It said the Lord appeared unto him. Mm-hmm. It seems like it was the angels, but the way he was so caring for him. He was glad for them to be there. He wanted to give them water. He wanted to give them food. He didn't even want them to leave unless he do this for them. So they gave in to him. Amen. And as we continue to read, we see how the Lord dealt with Abraham and how his relationship with Abraham was. So read on.
And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?
Let's stop with that one right there. I can't run over that scripture. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord has given her a son in her old age. And Abraham, do you know nothing is too hard for the Lord?
right. Let,
if we have a great relationship with God, he can do anything. He can do it anyway, but he wants to do it for us.
That's
if
right.
we have this relationship with
That's
him.
Right.
And so we want to give everything. Let's give it our best.
Amen.
Everything we have. With all that, one scripture said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. One of them said, with all thy might. And I say, let's do this. Let's love the Lord with all our, everything we have within us. And then nothing will be too hard for the Lord, for us. Read on.
Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?
I want you to stop a minute. This is one the scripture I want you to see. The Lord and had such a relationship with Abraham. He was going to do something, and he wanted to reveal. He didn't even want to keep it back because of that close relationship he had with Abraham, and Abraham had with him.
Right.
And so read on 18.
Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him.
Yes, amen. So we can have that kind of relationship with God. I believe today we can, in 2024, we can have, and that's a challenge that I have, to have that kind of relationship with God. As you walk along, the Lord speak to you and tell you things. And, you know, you tell him and he tells you. That's the kind of relationship we can have. And when we do that, it's going to help us and motivate us to give everything we have. This is why Abraham, when he told him to take his son, he didn't hesitate. He didn't slow around. He didn't start asking everybody to see who thought it was a good idea, nothing. He would got up early the next morning and went and did it. And you know, when he went up there with Isaac, he told the men to stay here. He said, stay here. I and the lad will go and worship and come to again. He knew that if he had to take his son's life, God would, on the spot, God would raise him back up, and he would go back with his son. That's how much faith he had. And that's why he's the father of faith. So we can have that today. We can have that. That kind of confidence and that kind of trust in God. And I sure want to be faithful to him. Now let's go to John 15:13-16. This is Jesus. Jesus tells us he wants us to be his friend.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you.
See, he doesn't want us just for a servant. He wants us for a friend.
Yes.
And he calls us friend.
Yes.
And when we have that kind of relationship with God, God really will work with for us. Well, let's go to Acts 22 and read verse 7-13. So, when we are willing to make this sacrifice and willing to be have this kind of relationship with God, It goes beyond, like I said before, finances. Amen. Sometimes when you read these scriptures, you'll think, well, then, you know, it's talking about money. But I believe Jesus saw deeper than the money. He saw the woman's heart and her purpose. And so he will see the same with us. He wants us to be able to give of ourselves to him in this to this level.
And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him.
Now I want you to look at this. This was Ananias. Paul had been persecuting the saints. But yet, when the Lord told Ananias to go and that he was coming to him, and to that he's coming to him for him to receive his sight, or whatever he explained to him, Ananias, being a devout woman, a devout man, full of the Holy Ghost, no doubt, he was willing to address Paul, who had been persecuting the saints, as brother. I just want us to get a little glimpse of how when we have that kind of devotion to God, we can do things that look like impossible or look hard to do. We can do it, Brother Paul. Amen. Can you, in your natural man, do that? No. It takes the Spirit of God. It takes your devotion to God, knowing that he said, I do this, I can do it on this level. He could have just said, Paul, God sent me. But no, he didn't. He said, Brother Paul. So we appreciate how that when we get close to the Lord, he helps us to be able to do things that would not naturally be possible for us to do. I want to read one more scripture. 1 Timothy 6 and read verses 17 to 19.
Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who richly giveth us, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life.
See, you see, we need to be rich in good works. This, when we have this attitude toward the Lord and things of God, we're going to be rich in good works. And then the Lord will bless us. But I also want to read, I'm sorry, I said one more, Hebrews 11 and verses 32 to 39. We know that when we read this chapter in Hebrews, it tells of so many people who had gone through great difficulties but they went through by faith. But then we look at, we don't know that many of them may not have, they've had very different situations were looked like impossible to go through, but they were devout. They had given their two mites, and we give our two mites. God will help us in these hard times.
Amen.
So if you could read those 32 to 39.
And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, or they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
But you see how that these people, through faith, were able to conquer all of these different circumstances. And we can too.
Yes.
Are we willing to give our two mites? Pray for me.